like a big, big, big deal. We didn't have a color TV yet, so, you know, it was a big deal to have this record player. And he bought three albums that we listened to nonstop. One was Ed Ames. Remember, he was Mingo on Daniel Boone? So we had an Ed Ames album. We had Gentleman Jim Reeves. You know, put your sweet lips a little closer to the phone, right? And tell me you don't love him anymore. This warped me listening to these songs as a 10-year-old, you know. The other album was Johnny Cash, Ring of Fire. And that was the beginning of my love of music. So, Richard, what about you? Where'd you come into Johnny Cash?
Am I live? Yeah. I think I first heard Johnny Cash. My parents were on a drive to Florida, and it was an 8-track tape. And there was only one. They borrowed the car from my dad's father, my grandfather, and there was only one 8-track tape in the car, and it was the same album, Johnny Cash. And the song that stuck out of my mind was "Were You There When They Crucified My Lord?" And if you ever heard Johnny Cash sing that song, that's a it's a great bass line. But all the way to Florida and back you know, you started feeling that you really were there when they crucified my Lord. And so, anyway, so, but that was my earliest experience with Johnny Cash, but not my, not the Renaissance recently that we can talk about, but this was my first experience. Yeah.
So you got a clip.
Yeah, we're going to start off tonight with, the movie, that's going to capture a bit of the scene from his biography, Cash's biography from the movie, I Walk the Line. This is right after he kind of comes out of, getting, we lost that. It was my fault. Okay. Gets clean, goes back to church. So there's that kind of spiritual awakening. And then, becoming the Man in Black and the Folsom Prison concert. So about 10 minutes here to kind of set the stage, and it's going to grab a bunch of themes that we want to talk about this evening. So,
for you, I know I'd even try to turn the tide.
Okay, let me pause that. Sorry.
Because you're mine, I walk the line.
I still had iTunes going. We'll try it again. No, this is on the 19th now. How many of you have seen this movie? There you go.
Mom and I picked these up down the road. They're good. It's good to see you again. Can I get you something else?
Just stay.
Okay.
You're an angel.
No, I'm not.
You live here with me.
I had a friend who needed help. You're my friend.
But I've done so many bad things.
You've done a few. That's true.
And Daddy's right. Just been kneeling that song. Jack was so good. He would have done so many good things. Hurt everybody I know. I know I've hurt you. I'm nothing.
You're not nothing. You are not nothing. You're a good man. And God has given you a second chance to make things right, John. This is your chance, honey. This is your chance.
Tropicana. What's wrong with the Opry?
He was banned after he smashed up the footlights.
Well, if he smashes lights at Folsom, they're going to keep him there.
Look, Frank, while Johnny was out recuperating, the world changed. Dylan's gone electric. The birds are electric. The beetles are electric. Hell, everybody's electric. He needs a fresh sound, and all he wants to do is cut a live album with the same old pickers at a maximum security penitentiary.
You can talk to me, you know. I'm standing right here.
And what's with the black? It's depressing.
Looks like you're going to a funeral.
Maybe I am.
Your fans are church folk, Johnny. Christians. They don't want to hear you singing to a bunch of murderers and rapists trying to cheer them up.
Well, they're not Christians then.
I'm fine with you doing a live record. Just not at a prison. That's my compromise.
January 13th, I'll be at Folsom Prison with June and the boys. You listen to the tapes. You don't like them?
Mr. Cash, might I suggest you refrain from playing any more tunes that remind them, the inmates that is, that they're in prison?
You think they forgot?
Perhaps you and your wife could do another spiritual.
It's not my wife, Ward. Keep asking her and she keeps saying no. You ever drink this water, Warden?
No. I'm a Coca-Cola man.
Recording live here today, so you can't say hell or shit or anything like that. I gotta tell you, I can't tell you how many shows we've done, but this is the best audience we ever had. I want to thank you for that. You know, standing back there in your shop catching my breath, I come to admire you even more. You see, I never had to do a hard time like you. Although I have, on occasion, got myself busted. Once in El Paso, I have the dagger. Have you heard about that? You been in El Paso, too? Well, anyways, I felt tough, you know? Like I'd seen a thing or two, you know? Well, that was till a moment ago. Because I got to tell you, my hat's off to you now. Cause I ain't never had to drink this yellow water you got here at Folsom. Down in Juarez, Mexico. Laid in the hot joint, taking the pill. And walked the sheriff on Jericho Hill. He said, Willie, your name is not Jack Brown. You're the dirty hack that shot your woman down. When I was arrested, I was dressed in black. They put me on a train. Carcass in the county jail. The judge smiled as he picked up his pen. 99 years in the Folsom pen.
All right, that's a great way to start this, don't you think? Mark is going to pick up a little bit on the that contrast between that Christian going to church and the man singing the song. Took a shot of cocaine and I shot my woman down. We'll get to that in a little bit. So, I got into Johnny Cash, because of the Folsom album. I had heard him long ago, like I mentioned when I was, young. I started getting involved about 3 years ago. Those of you guys that read my blog will know about 3 years ago, I started writing a lot about prison ministry. And those have become like really influential experiences for me, and it's actually become some of the most popular things I've written about online. And so if you get involved in prison ministry, you eventually kind of come back around to Johnny Cash at Folsom Prison, which is considered to be one of the great American records. And so that idea of him going to prison and standing in solidarity, that's the kind of theme I want to pick up on. Some of you all are not aware of Johnny Cash. You just came here because of curiosity. But the song, obviously, that captures this theme of solidarity for Johnny Cash is the song what? The Man in Black. And so if you always were curious about that, he wore black as a sign of solidarity with the kind of the downtrodden. And the song, if you never heard it, we're going to place a little bit of song all the way through here, not all of it. But if you've never heard,
there I go.
Well, you wonder why I always dress in black, why you never see bright colors on my back, and why does my appearance seem to have a somber tone? Well, there's a reason for the things that I have on. I wear the black for the poor and the beaten down, living in the hopeless, hungry side of town. I wear it for the prisoner who has long paid for his crime, but is there because he's a victim of the time. I wear the black for those who've never read or listened to the words that Jesus said about the road to happiness through love and charity. Why, you think he's talking straight to you and me?
So that's the theme I want to pick up on, that whole man in black theme of solidarity. I think that's what Christians are called to do, stand in solidarity with all the people. And if you listen to the song, just refrain after refrain of all the different kind of broken down and downtrodden kinds of people. The Prison album, obviously, is the one that spoke to me because of my experience in the prison. But one of the ones I just want to introduce you to, if you're a hardcore Johnny Cash fan, you're aware of this album, but if you're just picked up his music late in the 90s and in the 2000s, you might not be aware of this. But one of his greatest albums that he ever did was an album called Bitter Tear. Oops, I just lost my microphone. Is anybody familiar with this? How many of you are familiar with Bitter Tears? So that's why I wanted to, hardcore Johnny Cash fans know Bitter Tears. But this was an album he produced in the 60s to stand in solidarity with the Native American Indians. And so every song all the way through it was about the Native American experience and the trauma and the travails that they... And it didn't get a lot of airplay, because if you listen to this album, it's pretty depressing, and there's a lot of a great indictment of colonialism. This is the opening song of Bitter Tears.
As long as the moon...
By the way, he was... in the middle of his drug abuse. This is the cover of the album, and you can tell by how thin he was. He was abusing pretty hard at this point in his career.
As long as the sun will shine.
And his voice is ragged at this period in his albums.
As long as the grass shall grow. The Senecas are an Indian tribe of the Iroquois Nation. Down on the New York, Pennsylvania line, you'll find their reservation. After the U.S. Revolution, Corn Planter was a chief. He told the tribe these men they could trust. That was his true belief. He went down to Independence Hall, and there a treaty signed that promised peace with the USA and Indian rights combined. George Washington gave his signature. The government gave its hand. They said that now and forevermore that this was Indian land. As long as the...
As you can discern from the lyrics there, it's a story about a broken treaty. A treaty signed with the Seneca Nation by George Washington, and eventually that treaty is eventually broken, and the land that was, for as long as the grass should grow and the sunshine, that would be their land, but that obviously was a treaty broken over and over again. So that's the kind of theme through this whole thing. In fact, it got such little airplay, Cash really, really got angry and took out a full-page ad in, I think it was an industry magazine, kind of accusing the Nashville establishment and the DJs of ignoring and being racist. So he kind of took on very early his industry for not playing kind of politically disruptive kind of songs like this. So if you've never given it a listen and think about themes of solidarity, we often think about the prison albums, but Bitter Tears is kind of one of his most courageous albums that I think that he ever did. But I want to jump back to the prison concerts and the experience of solidarity. Probably my favorite, how many of you have listened to At Folsom Prison? Listen to At Folsom Prison. If you've never listened to it, it's great because you hear the sounds of the prisoners cheering and you hear announcements being made. And so you can really experience that you're being there. My favorite moment of kind of solidarity where I think Johnny Cash like really grabbed the experience of what it felt like to be a prisoner is on the At San Quentin album. It's not as iconic as the other one, but some people know it more because that's the album that he sang Boy Named Sue for the first time. And anyway, but if you look at the track listing of At San Quentin, the song At San Quentin or San Quentin is there twice. And if you, is anybody aware of why it's sung twice? He sings it once, trying to articulate their experiences of being in the prison, and they go ballistic. And they ask for him to just sing it again immediately. And so they stop, and he sings it twice. And so if you look at the track listing of At San Quentin, you see the song San Quentin, San Quentin. And then at the end, I'm going to play the whole song for you. And again, it's a great sign of him trying to get inside the experience of what it would be like to be a prisoner, like how they felt about San Quentin. And so this is the second song. This is the second time through. I want you to listen to the end. People there that day said at the end of the second song that it got really feeling a little dangerous inside, that the prisoners were so keyed up by this song and so excited that Cash himself said, if I would have said, let's go, guys, and run out of the prison, he could have led a jailbreak at that moment. You can kind of hear it, and it gets a little edgy, and so he kind of brings it down there. So listen to the end. If you want to kind of, for me, the quintessential Johnny Cash solidarity with the prisoners is this ovation where the prisoners at that moment felt like this guy is one of us. Because of the lyrics that he sang. And you'll see here kind of when you listen to the song why they got so excited about it.
San Quentin, you've been living hell to me. You called at me since 1963. I've seen them come and go, and I've seen them die. And long ago I stopped asking why. San Quentin, I hate every inch of you. You've cut me and you've scarred me through and through. And I'll walk out a wiser, weaker man. Mr. Congressman, why can't you understand? What good do you think you do? Do you think that I'll be different when you're through? You bend my heart and mind and you warp my soul. Your stone walls turn my blood a little cold. San Quentin, may you rot and burn in hell. May your walls fall and may I live to tell. May all the world forget you ever stood. And the whole world will regret you did no good. San Quentin, you've been living hell to me. After a while, before we go tonight, we'll probably do it again. I kind of like it myself now.
Anyway, That's my like when I think of Johnny Cash and Solidarity, that dangerous moment when they felt that that this guy got them, and I had kind of articulated what it felt like trying to internalize. And if you listen to the San Quentin album, he talks about where he got those lyrics. He was trying to imagine what it would feel like, and those are the lyrics that he wrote. And obviously, he struck a nerve with that group. I'm going to wrap this up here, but I want to end on a point here before I turn it over to Mark. This is the easy kind of myth of Johnny Cash. You kind of come in here, he's the man in black, stands with the prisoner. That's the easy side of his story. But I want to complicate it a little bit, as well. Because I think as Christians, as a person that tries in small ways to live in solidarity with prisoners in my own life, and somebody tries to live in solidarity with people that are marginalized and poor, I think sometimes when we hear these things and hear these stories and you look at Johnny Cash as a role model, you can romanticize solidarity. Am I right? We romanticize and you can forget that as you work in prisons that some of these people are sociopaths. And when you work with the poor and you work with marginalized populations, you forget that people are dealing with mental illness and addictions. So what I want to do here at the end here is to talk about this theme of solidarity that I find so powerful in him, but also to talk about kind of a failure of his, or at least something that makes it a little bit more complicated, because I think that's a more honest vision. Because I think we come out of here and go, yeah, Johnny Cash was like the man, and it was all pretty straightforward and simple. But anybody who's ever tried to stand in solidarity with a marginalized population knows that there's risk and danger and disappointment and frustration. And Cash himself experienced this in relation to his prison concerts. And it had to do with a song that comes at the very end of the Folsom Prison album. So I don't know the exact, the night before or the week before, Johnny Cash is given from a prison chaplain a song written by an inmate, Glenn Shirley, called Greystone Chapel. And so Cash, again, trying to express solidarity, decides to end the Folsom concert with a song written by one of the inmates, Glenn Shirley, and it ends the album. And it's called Greystone Chapel. And this is the moment in that concert where Cash, calls him out and says, hey, one of your very own in the audience here wrote this song, and he learned it that night before. If you've never heard it, a little bit, from the Folsom concert, Greystone Chapel.
Thank you very much. This next song was written by a man right here in Folsom Prison. And last night was the first time I've ever sung this song. Anyway, this song was written by our friend Glenn Shirley. And hope we do your song justice, Glenn. We're going to do our best. Inside the walls of prison, my body may be, but my Lord has set my soul free. There's a gray stone chapel here at Folsom, a house of worship in this den of sin. You wouldn't think that God had a place here at Folsom, but he saved the soul of many lost men. Now this gray stone chapel here.
So that's the gray stone chapel, a little bit of the gray stone chapel song by Glenn Shirley. Here's the story, right? So this is a great, metaphor for solidarity, right? He sings a song written by one of the men in prison. And because of the notoriety, so this album becomes like a huge, you know, hit record, revitalizes Cash's career again, and Shirley gets a lot of notoriety from this. And because of that notoriety, because of this song, Cash chose to pull him out of the crowd and kind of put a spotlight on him. He eventually gets himself out of prison early, gets out on parole, and begins to tour with Johnny Cash. And so it's a great story of standing in solidarity, kind of lifting a guy up out of a difficult situation. But the story doesn't actually end very well, because Shirley himself was a pretty damaged guy and pretty institutionalized from his years in prison, and had some sociopathic tendencies, and began kind of making murderous threats to the band, saying things like to the band, like, I'm talking to you right now as a normal person, but the only thing I want to do is just get up and gut you with a knife. I forget who he said that to. He said it to one of the Tennessee Two. And so eventually they felt so unsafe with him that they told Cash they had to kick him off the tour. And so Johnny dies, and then Shirley bounced around a while and eventually commits suicide, I believe, is how his life ends, prematurely. And so I kind of want to end with Glenn Shirley to say that this kind of theme of solidarity is complex. And even our best intentions to stand in solidarity with marginalized populations entail risk and disappointment as well. And so sometimes I think when we think about the Man in Black, we have a romantic notion. But anybody who's gone into this life realizes there's Glenn Shirley's out there, people we've tried to rescue, and it's been difficult, and it's not often ended well. The other thing I want to talk about Cash's prison albums is that Cash, as he did more and more of them, and through the 70s and the 80s, as the prison population shifted over to more African Americans, he found out he had lost his ability to connect with those populations. And so Cash is, he's good on things like prison. He's good on things like, you know, that the Native American Indians. But lots of people think he moved kind of slowly and wasn't as vocal on race issues. And he eventually struggled to connect with African American populations in the incarcerated prison. So he stopped doing prison concerts. Again, I tell that part of the story to say that solidarity is also very hard. In other ways as well. We can experience solidarity in kind of one way and fall down in another. So let me end my part by saying the thing I love about Johnny Cash is that standing in solidarity with the least of these. And yet, even there, it's a complicated story because we like to think we stand with everybody, but there's always some population that we're struggling to connect with, somebody else that is off our radar screen. Maybe for Cash it was an African-American population. And even when we do stand in solidarity, not all stories end well. And there's the Glenn Shirley stories out there as well. But through it all, I think Cash stayed committed to being the Man in Black, because he sang another song called The Man in White. So we are the men and women in black because we follow the Man in White. Let me turn it over to Mark. He's going to pick up a different theme for us.
All right, how many of you understood the phrase the Man in Black the way Richard just described it? You saw, heard the phrase and thought solidarity with the poor. How many of you thought outlaw when you hear the phrase Man in Black? I think most of us think that, right? After all, Johnny Cash was part of the Outlaws. You know, Christofferson, Waylon Jennings, Willie Nelson, and he kind of fostered that kind of outside the law kind of persona. In fact, I shot a man once just to watch him die. Yeah, right? So there was that kind of part of Johnny Cash in his persona, in his songs. And Richard, in his blogs, described that maybe as a way that Cash was living out this kind of Protestant idea of simultaneously sinner and saint. So he'd sing a song like that, and then he'd put out a gospel album, right? Or you'd watch the Johnny Cash variety show, and he'd have gospel music, and then he'd have more edgy kind of outlaw friends on the show, right? And so my take on Johnny Cash is that the early Cash was great. You know, Ring of Fire and all that kind of stuff, early Cash. But in the middle years, Cash kind of loses his musical identity. And besides the prison songs, it's tough for Cash to keep an audience consistently over time. At the same time, his life has fallen apart, right? He can't hold together the church-going Cash and the pill-popping outlaw Cash, and he ends up having to go into rehab, right? So simultaneously, this sinner-saint, outlaw-saint kind of image, I think hurts him both in his personal life and in his musical life. What I want to talk about are the later years, the American recordings. Do you know what I'm talking about when I refer to the American recordings? He did these late in his life. In fact, two or three of them were released after he died. We're going to talk about his producer in a minute. But to me, these albums are different. They don't try to hold together sinner and saint, but to me, they try to hold together the image of the suffering one and the saint. And I think in ways that are very, very powerful. Let me see, what else do I want to say here? Yeah, play a little bit of the, get the next.
Traveling through.
So the American recordings
this world below
have a lot of covers.
There is no sickness.
But he also has original
no toil
music.
Nor danger.
Oh yeah. So
in that bright
this is
land
typical. He sings Wayfaring Stranger.
To which I
and I
go.
Think this is kind of his persona as he moves through
there.
These albums. They were produced by Rick Rubin. Did you see on Facebook and in CNN last few days that these big beards are like toilets? Did you see that? They're gross, disgusting. But Rick Rubin, I'm sorry if you have one, but I mean, biologically speaking, they're full of really interesting things. But Rick Rubin is a great producer and has made a habit of finding artists whose careers have kind of waned and bringing them back into prominence. Johnny Cash is the biggest, I think, example of this. But he also did a Neil Diamond album a few years ago, and he's worked with several very big stars. And if you listen to a Rick Rubin album, you can tell. It's got this impressive kind of bass line in the piano, and it's stripped down. It feels kind of spare and raw. That's kind of the Rick Rubin sound. So Rubin decides to do these albums with Johnny Cash, and they did them in Cash's home, and he had a recording studio in his basement. Rubin had never met Cash before. And Cash was so feeble by this time in his life that they had to carry him down into the recording studio. He was virtually blind. He had had a tractor accident on his property about 15 years earlier. He was in constant pain by the time that he did these albums. And Rick Rubin thought, this will never work. This guy's feeble. He's old. And if you listen to the American albums, his voice quivers and shakes a little bit. It's not Ring of Fire quality Johnny Cash, but there's something compelling about his voice in those recordings. Rubin said, I was worried until we handed him a guitar. And then everything was going to be okay. So in the songs, he writes some new songs. I think, the Man Comes Around is a huge one that was an original song. But he also covers songs like U2's One, which is the song that's playing now.
Better.
He covers Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. He covers Neil Diamond. He covers Roberta Flack, which he shouldn't have done. He Simon and Garfunkel. I mean, he covers a lot of kind of American classics, but then also adds some original music that I think gives us some insight into what Cash was doing.
In the night, one love, we get to share it.
So this is on the first American Recordings album. It's one of his songs. It's called I'm Like a Soldier. And the lyrics say, I'm like a soldier getting over the war, like a young man getting over his crazy days, like a bandit getting over his lawless days. I don't have to do that anymore. I'm like a soldier getting over the war. So I think he's reflecting on the outlaw years of his life and saying, that's not me anymore. And it's kind of like I've lived through a war, and now I'm on the other side, and I'm learning what it means to kind of get over that, okay? So if you're not going to be, the outlaw, what are you going to be in relationship to his strong commitment to gospel music? And I think here we get the theme of suffer. So here's some of the songs of the saints. On those albums, a beautiful song that he wrote called Redemption. He wrote 1 Corinthians 15:55, O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? He sings Wayfaring Stranger, Ain't No Grave, a great cover of Depeche Mode's Personal Jesus, he does. And The Man Comes Around. We're going to hear The Man Comes Around.
And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. There's a man going round taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around. The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each sup. Will you partake of that last offered cup or disappear into the potter's ground when the man comes around? Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers, 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Till Armageddon, no shalom, no shalom. Then the father hen will call his chickens home.
The wise men will bow down before the throne, and at his feet they'll cast their golden crowns. When the man comes around, whoever is unjust, let him be unjust still. Whoever is righteous, let him be righteous still. Whoever is filthy, let him be filthy still. Listen to the words long written down when the man comes around. Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers, 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. In measured 100 weight and penny pound, when the man comes around. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed with him.
It had been a long time since I'd listened to Johnny Cash. He stopped being relevant for me. And I was in a small group with Richard and Janet Beck, and we had a guys' night, and Al Haley. Asked us to bring some of our favorite songs to play for each other, and Richard brought that song and another one that we won't play tonight, Sam Hall. But you got to listen to Sam Hall. It's a good laugh. And I thought, man, I got to listen to Johnny Cash again. And so I started buying the American Songs albums, which are great. I mean, they're just great albums. We have songs of the sufferer too on these albums. So I See a Darkness. We're going to listen to Hurt, at least part of it in a minute. He sings not very well, but he sings Bridge Over Troubled Waters. He covers a Sheryl Crow song, Redemption Day. That's a great song. I Don't Hurt Anymore, Sea of Heartbreak. Rusty Cage is a Soundgarden. Let's play a few minutes of that. It's a Soundgarden song that he covered.
You wired me awake and hit me with a hand of broken nails. You tied my lead and pulled my chain to watch my blood begin to boil. But I'm gonna break. I'm gonna break my rusty cage and run. Gonna break my rusty cage and run.
That's my favorite cover of all time. Any cover of all time that, Johnny Cash cover of Rusty Cage. What do you think? Do we have time to watch the Hurt video? Yes, we do. All right, let's go to the Hurt video. Hurt is a cover. It's a Nine Inch Nails song that he covers. All right. Well, I don't know what. The video is very powerful. you know, the song talks about wanting to feel pain just to, so you can feel something. Today. And he sings about all the kind of treasures he has in life and how now they don't mean anything. They're just a pile of dirt for him. It's a very moving song. Well, I don't. Rusty Cage is clearly a better cover.
But a lot of people consider this the greatest music video ever done.
Yeah. I'll go.
I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real. The needle tears a hole, the old familiar sting. Try to kill it all away, but I remember everything. What have I become? My sweetest friend. Everyone I know goes away in the end. And you could have. Crown of thorns upon my liar's chair, full of broken thoughts I cannot repair. Beneath the stains of time, the feelings disappear. You are someone else. I am still right here. What have I become? My sweetest friend. Everyone I know goes away in the end. And you could have it all, my empire of dirt. I will let you down, I will make you hurt. If I could start again, a million miles. Find a way.
So, pretty powerful song there. Again, the theme of pain and suffering, but even the images of the crucified one toward the end point to the fact that he's seen his life through a different lens now than he saw it before. It feels repentant, right? You can have it all, my empire of dirt. So he does have a few outlaw songs, but only a few. These are three kind of hanging songs that are on these albums. One is a cover of a Sting song, and I don't know if you saw the Kennedy Honors for Sting this past year, but Springsteen covers I Hung My Head. It was powerful, powerful, powerfully done. But Cash sings it. He's being hanged, but
early
he's not happy about it. I mean, he's repented. He's sorrowful. He's not the proud outlaw thumbing his nose at everybody. He isn't Sam Hall, but Sam Hall's a funny song. It's a spoof. And then the song The Mercy Seat is a death row prisoner who at the beginning of the song saying he's going to be killed for something he didn't do. But by the end of the song, he's letting you know that he may very well have done it. And he's hoping to find the mercy of God in the midst of that experience. So even when he sings outlaw songs, they're different than I Shot a Man Once just to watch him die, right? It's a very different feel to these songs. So let's go to the last.
Into the sheen. I kept on running.
So what to make all of this, in Protestant theology, since Luther, the phrase simultaneously sinner and saint has been a big one. So we read Romans 7 and Romans 8 as simultaneous realities that describe our life simultaneously. So I don't do the thing I want to do, the very thing I hate, the thing I find myself doing, right? Romans 7. That's the sinner. That's the Johnny Cash outlaw. Romans 8, you know, the Spirit of God is working this new thing in me. I'm a saint. And those two images, I think, that way of reading Paul in particular has been very difficult to hold together theologically. In fact, new readings of Paul are challenging kind of the traditional Lutheran reading, saying that Paul's idea of salvation is not that just God says you're righteous, but that God actually empowers you to become righteous. You become the righteousness of God, or as Paul will say in two or three different places, you are being saved. You know, Bonhoeffer noticed this kind of understanding of grace that allowed you to think of yourself simultaneously as sinner and saint or outlaw and saint the way Johnny Cash did, and called it what? Called it cheap grace, right? And so I think that if Cash was truly kind of living this out in his life, it's a pretty tough thing to live out. And I think musically it was hard for him to sustain a musical identity built around these two very conflicting themes. But for my sensibility, the gospel always holds together the images of suffering and saint. We are always participating in the death of Jesus. Paul says, carrying around in our bodies the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be seen in us. And what's the life of Jesus? It's the same thing. It's the self-sacrificing, the one who's willing to suffer. So as we carry around in our bodies the death of Jesus, the life of Jesus also becomes visible or manifest. So Paul will say things like, we are filling up the sufferings of Christ. Or, I want to know Christ in the power of his resurrection, to share in his suffering and conform to his death, so that somehow I might obtain resurrection from the dead. Paul always holds these two themes together. In fact, I heard at an earlier session today the line from 2 Corinthians 4 quoted in a class, just the same spirit as the one who wrote, we believe, therefore we speak, we also believe, therefore we speak. It's quoting a psalm where the psalmist has been into the abyss and there experienced the mercy of God, even there. And Paul says it's out of that kind of experience, the experience of suffering in the world, and to go with Richard's first theme, solidarity with those who are suffering in the world, that we find the surprising life and mercy and grace of God. And so for me, the last albums in Cash's life are particularly satisfying, both thematically. The gospel, I think, is proclaimed powerfully in the songs in Cash's later albums, and also musically. I think the toll that the years have taken on his life, the pain that he's endured, the losses that he has now brings a certain gravity to his singing that allows the gospel themes in his music to take on resonance. So if you haven't listened to the American Songbook, the last five or six albums of Cash's life, you need to. Anyway, thanks for coming. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No.
Hey, I think I need the mic. So last Johnny Cash story for trivia buffs out there. When Johnny Cash was recording at Sun Studios, Sam Phillips didn't want him to sing gospel songs, kept on wanting to sing gospel songs. And Sam Phillips said, it doesn't sell, right? We need something on the jukebox. You're competing with Elvis, who was also playing at Sun at the same time. At one point, Sam Phillips had Elvis, Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis, and Roy Orbison all under contract. And so they kind of birthed early rock and roll, which is interesting. Johnny Cash, rock and roll icon in the beginning, then country music and gospel. I think he's one of the few people that are in all the Hall of Fames across the board, all of those. Anyway, wanted to sing gospel songs. And the recent biography that just came out about Johnny Cash tells this story, is that he snuck one past him, Sam Phillips. His very first, Sam didn't know it was a gospel song, but Johnny Cash says it had two meanings to him. And so I thought I'd play you his very first gospel song. So this is what Johnny Cash figured out would be his very first gospel song. You might know it. Obviously you know it. Anyway, he wrote I Walk the Line as a song of fidelity, but his other meaning was it was a song to God. So that we can send you out there. So anyway, Johnny Cash's first gospel song. Thank you guys for coming. So appreciate it. Thank you.
Because you're mine, I walk the line.